Wow, you don't know how hard I had to work to get them to that level where they could sing like that. Genesis chapter 2, turn there with me if you would. Well, we've been away for a couple of weeks, went over to the Cove and studied the book of Matthew with Michael Card for a week. If you know who Michael Card is, you'd have to be old like me to understand that. He is a singer-songwriter who's also turned teacher. And so we were there with him for a week. And then we went over to, came back for Larry Allen's funeral and then went back to Sapphire Valley, a place where we didn't know where it was until we took out our precious Garmin. Most of you know that I have a love-hate relationship with a Garmin. And so, but we plugged it in because we were traveling in the middle of the night and we were traveling through various areas and this lady somehow, I have no idea where she's speaking from, how she knows me or anything, but as she speaks as if she knows me and she's telling me exactly where I need to be going. And then we found out that some of her directions were wrong. And of all the nerve, we found out that we were supposed to have our Garmin updated with new maps because of all the changes in the highway system after I've already paid $129 for this Garmin. So needless to say, I ride the Garmin as far as I can, and then I usually do what most men do. We unplug it, throw it in the back seat, and we do the best we can. And we got there in about 9 hours where we were supposed to get there in six. So. I give you a silly illustration because where I want to carry you for the next 3 or 4 weeks is serious business. And because these things have to be updated. And this is one of the things that really moves me as a pastor, teacher, and a counselor. And I am going to entitle this, Before I Say I Do. Now, I know that most of you in here have already said I did. And so that's okay, but what I'm going to lay before you is going to be very important for you. We're going to take it very slow. We're going to study together this great thing, because just like your Garmin, your marriage needs new maps occasionally. And so we're going to look at it this morning. We're going to go all the way back. There's really only, believe it or not, only 5 or 6 passages in all of Scripture that have to do with marriage. And I want to take you very slow through those for the next 4 weeks. I'll do part of it. I'm asking somebody else to come in and do a part of it on communication. But I want you to do this. I want you to encourage you not to miss anything we're going to do. Today we're going to take you into the foundational part, and next week, you don't want to miss next week because I'm going to show you what a marriage is supposed to look like and what is the constant attack that makes it fail. You want to see that, but today I'm hoping will be equally thought-provoking and powerful. Let's ask the Lord to come be our teacher this morning. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would come and you would open up the Scriptures to us. That the Scriptures would come alive, they would be exciting, they would make sense. It would not just be something we would just read and be ho-hum about. Father, I pray for every couple, every person sitting here. There are those guys and gals who are looking to be married. And Lord, they have bought perhaps already into the concept that all I'm looking for is someone attractive. Someone that I can be a soulmate with. They haven't understood all the intricacies of why you value this so much. Lord, I pray you would help us who are married today, that as we study today, that we see some of the things that perhaps, just like my Garmin, has not been updated, and we continue just to throw it in the back seat. Oh God, come and work in us. Because, Father, our marriage is this great relationship between us and our wives and our husbands, is supposed to be a picture to this world of Jesus and the church. Father, I pray you'd give me the ability to take your word and explain it today. as best I can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, if you would turn there with me. We're going to see just basically a couple of verses this morning, but we're going to spend so much time basically trying to unfold this that you and I would get a picture for it. And we start out in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord comes to Adam and He speaks to Adam and He says basically this: "It is not good for the man to be alone." Now there's four little words that I want you to focus in on with me this morning. And the first is right here where the Lord comes up and He says, "It's not good that you're alone." And when I read that, I want to think, did God build this architectural plan and all of a sudden say, "Wait a minute, I think I left something out"? Or did God watch it and say, "I didn't think of that in the previous drawings. We've got a mistake here, angels, Holy Spirit, Father, Son. What did we do wrong? I want you to see this." Is that what He's saying? Now, spiritually, we immediately say, "Oh no, that's not what God's saying." And you're right, it isn't what He's saying, but He is saying something. Now let me show you how I know that. Take your Bibles and just flip back to the previous page and look at the end of verse 10. And we're going to work slow. The six words of verse 10 says what? "And God saw that it was" what? "Good." Go to verse 12. "And God saw that it was" verse 18. "And God saw that it was good." Verse 21. "And God saw that it was good." Verse 25. "God saw that it was good." Verse 31. "God saw that all He had made and it was very good." And so we've got a picture here that on six occasions when the Lord has looked at what He has done, He has said, "This is good, this is good, this is good, this is good." And then He comes to man and He looks at where man is and He says something. Don't miss it here. He says, "You know, this is not good. Something's wrong here." And His purpose is that He, you and I would pick up on something, and it's there kind of like a glowing light in the middle of the pages to say, why would God say that this is all good, and now God says this one thing isn't good? I want you to use your heads and think with me a minute. And what He begins to unflesh is this, that man is a relational being, and that God has created him to be in relationships. And it is not good that he is alone. And so He is saying there is a part two to what He has done in creation. And the part two is the answer of why it's not good is because we're seeing the fact that it says the thing that he is alone. Now, immediately when we hear "alone," we're thinking that what would you do in heaven all day? What would you do in the Garden of Eden? You stand around and look at the fruits and say, "Hey, this is pretty cool." Listen, that is not what Adam was doing. Adam was not lonely. Let's get past that. Because every day, guess who he walked in the garden with? He walked with God Himself. He walked with God Himself. And so the word there, "alone" in the Hebrew, does not mean that he was lonely. It means, write this down if you're taking notes with us this morning, it means that man by himself is missing an integral part. Think about that. That everybody sitting in this room this morning, he is saying, everybody in this room is missing a piece that you should have gotten. You didn't get it. And on top of that, it's intentional that you didn't get it. And in your aloneness, you are going to experience things by yourself as a broken part that's going to prove that you needed something else. Now let me show you how I know that. Because God shows His sense of humor here. He comes up, I'm not going to read it, but He comes up and He says, "Adam, I'm going to bring you all the animals of the world and I want you to give them a name." Are you with me? So Adam's sitting there, and each one of the animals come by, and he, for some reason, zebra, giraffe, rhinoceros, hippopotamus, you know, he's doing all this whole thing. And look at verse 20, the very last end of it. What does it say? But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Did you catch that? Why do you think that God had Adam name all the animals? His point wasn't just naming. His point that he wanted Adam to see was, hey, Lord, you told me I need a suitable helper. It sure ain't any of these. Because he wanted him to see that. And when I marry a couple, I will not marry a couple until after they have explained to me how they know that this person is a fit. Aloneness. Let's talk about aloneness, though, just for a minute. God's plan all along was for you to be in relationship. And the greatest part of a relationship was that you and I were going to be in relationship with Him. Now, let's go all the way back. Did he want to be in relationship with man in the garden, yes or no? Did he want to be in relationship with man when he took him in and put him in the desert with Moses leading out, yes or no? Yes. Did he want to be in relationship with him when he formed the tabernacle and he brought people in to actually experience the presence of God? Did he want to be in relationship, yes or no? Yeah. And then he does this unbelievable thing where sin, Isaiah 59:2, can you bring that up, Josh? Isaiah 59:2, so we won't have to turn there. I want you to watch what happened. As sin took place in our lives, Isaiah 59:2 says that our iniquities have what? Separated us from God. So there's a separation now in this relationship. And then, you know the story, but let me refresh your memory. I love to tell the story. And God has done this marvelous story of the cross and where He takes all of our iniquities, puts it on Christ, judges Christ, and allows you to receive the benefits of that so that no longer are you and I separated. We are now joined in relationship again. Do you see that? And so God's plan all along was that you and I would be in relationship with Him. And, you know, I want you to see, He didn't just have a plan to do that. He had a way of making it happen. Now, let me show you what else His plan was. His plan was for you and I to be in relationship with other brothers and sisters. It's called the church. The church's intent was that you would have other brothers and sisters that you could be encouraged by, that you could be accountable to, that you could walk through this spiritual journey with, and that would be an experience there to experience Christ's likeness in the church. Does that make sense? I think of different organizations that work with people who have struggled in environment, and they're constantly saying to the people who in their organizations, for example, if you have any friends at all who work through that great organization, Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the bases of Alcoholics Anonymous is you must change your what? Environment. You know? And so the Lord provides the church for us who are broken, who are gently being retooled, to have a place to do that. But then He does something unbelievable. And that's in this passage here. He says this. He says, even though, now watch me now, I'm going to say something that some of you are going to go, So get ready to turn your head and go, Okay. All right. Even though you can be in a church, even though you can have a relationship with Christ, the Lord is going to say, I want you to have something else. Now, He will call some people to live in singleness. I want you to know that. And what He will do, He will fill that with those persons. He will fill it with Himself. But He calls us here to say, but I want to do something the Lord's going to show you. Now watch. He says, let's see the answer to the loneliness. I'm going to make a helper, what's the next word? Suitable for you. I'm going to make a helper suitable for you. I want you to see something here. I want to make sure I get this squared away, because as I have studied this week, I just became so excited about this. Now look right here just for a second. Hopefully I can say this the correct way. God is greatly concerned, watch me, not about your loneliness, but about your aloneness. Now you can turn your head and go, You see, there's a big difference. You know how I know that? Because I will guarantee you Myrtle Beach is full of people who are in relationships but are still alone. You can actually be in a church and feel alone. You can be in a marriage and feel alone. And so this morning, I am going to carry you into uncharted waters that you have never understood. Because I want you to see something that I think that God has laid before me to share with you, and that's, well, how does this marriage work then? And the Lord says, I care greatly about your aloneness. I want you to rebuild this relationship with me first. Now watch me, look right here, don't miss this point. Because if you miss this order right here, if you go down and say, well, I'm just going to find a wife, that'll take care of my aloneness. No, it won't. If you say, I'm just going to go get involved in an organization like AA or Rotary or church, that's going to take care of my loneliness. No, it's going to take care of your loneliness, but it's not going to take care of your aloneness. That separation. That can only be met in Christ. It can only be met in Christ. That's what we're going to see in just a moment, that if you get married, how do I know who is suitable? The number one thing that we have to have on our chart is this person a believer? Listen to me, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, and those who are single. How many times have I counseled people who said, you know, I'm dating this guy, we're really serious, not a believer, but he's getting there. And I tell people, run like crazy. Because your emotions will fool you every time. Over the years I've been doing this, you know, 30 years now. How many times I've sat with people who had a plan that God knew what they were doing, and they got off track because they chose someone who was unsuitable. Now listen what he says. Aloneness can only first be settled in Christ. That's why you're going to see tons of people around you who are in all kinds of relationships, and yet they're going to be lonely. They're going to be frustrated with marriage. I was reading something fascinating this weekend. You know how many people do this? They get married thinking, I'm going to find Mr. Right, and then I'm going to be okay. You ever had a friend tell you that? Wow, I thought everybody would say, yeah. All right. But anyway, pretend that you have. Anyway, all right. I don't know how many people have told me that. Well, as soon as I find Mrs. So-and-so, man, my life's going to be great. And I'm going, oh, my gracious. Do you know what you just said? I'm going to marry Jesus. I'm going to marry Jesus, and he's going to straighten me out. Maybe Mrs. Jesus, but I'm going to marry Jesus. No. No. Because now we're going to look and see where the Lord says, I want you to find someone suitable, but I want you to see something. The word suitable, if you're taking notes with us again, means, guess what? Missing an integral part, and a suitable means this. A part corresponding to the fact of the piece that you're missing. Did you hear what I just said? Look right here. Look right here. Quit taking notes or texting or whatever you're doing. Look right here. Hey. If the Lord says, Julian, it's not good that you're alone, I'm going to give you someone who is suitable, do you think He's going to give me someone just like me? Because that wouldn't be suitable. You follow me? So it's going to be, guess what? Someone who's... Now I'm saying this in a silly way because I want you to see exactly what the Scripture's saying and what the Lord is saying here is this. He's saying you need to be sure that you find someone who is suitable. You know. Now I want to discourage, I want to put away this thought that if I find Mr. Right, my life's going to be okay. That's not. He's not Jesus. Or if I find Mrs. Right, if my life's going to be okay. It's not. Because, watch me, this woman is broken too, and you are broken too, and because the Lord says, I will make it a covenant, we believe this, we're going to unfold this next week for you, He says this, we're going to do this, and we're going to bring two things that are suitable here. Now, if two things can be suitable, guess what they can also be? Unsuitable. They can be unsuitable. And that's why you need to have Christian brothers and sisters and counselors and people that you really trust who really know you so that when you're dating somebody and you come to them and say, I think I have found the guy. Or I think I have found the girl. You know? It's very, very important that you have some people who are with you and saying, are you sure? Suitable. Underline it if you would. Let's talk about being suitable here just for a second. Yeah. What are three things that we're going to know about finding someone suitable? First one we just told you. If he's broke, and guys, and I want you just to tune in with me right here for a minute. I want to talk to you guys. Now look at me real carefully. This to me, this is you, and this to me is the number one problem. Because if you do not see yourself as broken, aloneness, and unsuitable, you will never value this peace. Do you follow me? Yeah. You will never value this peace, if you think you have it all together. If you think that I really don't need you, you will end up using, devaluing, and exploiting your wife because you are king of the hill and she's coming along just for the ride. And guys, I want to tell you, that is wicked, wicked sin. So much that in 1 Peter 3:7, the Lord says, because of that attitude, I will not even hear your prayers, men. Are you with me, guys? I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to tell you the truth of God's Word. It is the most common thing I see year after year after year after year. I hope you hear that. What I need to understand in this thing about marriage is that I am absolutely a mess. I am broke. And if God in His mercy, watch me guys, gives you a precious piece to come in there and complete you, to help in this restoration process, that is an unbelievable gift. Unbelievable gift. And for us guys to devalue her and mimic her, put her down because of changes in her body or whatever. Oh, wow. We have just told God what? I didn't need her in the first place. And let me tell you who I find are the number one culprits of this. Christian workers. Christian workers. How many times I've talked with Christian workers and they thought, I'm going to do great things for God. And I'll say, well, why are you getting married? Well, She can do vacation Bible school. And I go, are you crazy? She said, you've missed it. You're alone. You're broken. And God is giving you this wonderful gift to complete you. You with me? Now, why? It works both ways, ladies. You're broken too. So what I want you to see is, what we know is we're both broken. And it's fascinating. Watch this, because this is where we're going to go next week. This, when you meet somebody like this, you know, let me show you something real funny. You know, I tell people all the time, they go, well, I think I'm just going to leave my mate. I think I can find somebody better. And I said, no, you won't. They said, what do you mean? I said, you're going to find someone just like the person you left. Said, what? How come you say that? Because of what I just read to you. You're going to quite often find somebody here because the problem quite often is with me. So I encourage them to stay and work through that if they possibly can. And obviously, you know, I've talked with many of you. There are times where you need to step back or step out of that relationship. We understand those things because of some unsuitable things here. But right here, we're seeing this piece here that says that these two things here. This guy's broke. She's broke. We're going to put the two of them together. Oh, my point. And I think this is really very, very fascinating, is that during dating and during courtship period, if you're ever dating someone like you, and talking to college students I reckon right now or anybody, as soon as you meet somebody like you, you go, you know, and people say, oh, she's beautiful. Oh, he's great looking. Yeah, but something's not right there. And so you kind of move away from each other. And so you find it even in courtship, and it looks like a wonderful thing. How many times have I heard a girl say this? Oh, he's so strong. He is so wise. I can just trust him with the world. I meet her in 6 months. You know what she's saying? He's so controlling. He's so dominating, you know. Or the flip side, you know. You know, I met this guy. He's just the biggest teddy bear in the world. I can just share with him my heart. He'll sit on the sofa and rub my feet and watch a movie, you know. 6 months later, guess what she's saying? I married a wimp. Now, it sounds silly, but and I don't mean for just to sound. I want you to see something. That finding this person who the Lord says is super, a suitable. And if the fascinating words is two Hebrew words. The first one says a helper, and then the other one says it's going to be a suitable helper. Or ESV says it's going to be a fit. It's going to be a fit. But you must know something. You must begin to look at something and ask yourself. And one of the things I'm hoping you'll go home today and turn to your wife, and your wives will turn to their husbands. I'm hoping going home and they're going to say, you know, the Word of God is right. I am a mess. I am so thankful that God has given you to me. Listen, if I could get couples to do that every day, we'd see marriages clear just like that. But as one says, I've got it together, it's obvious you don't. The third thing is, be sure that you're aware that there can also be some unsuitable parts. If you're not married here today, I heard a great sermon while I was away, and on that sermon, he talked about why do people immediately choose unsuitable parts. Not to be blatant, but this particular pastor, I think he hit it right on the head. So many people in our culture today, they are interested in finding a sexual partner so that I can be moral and yet I can also be married at the same time. And so they forget and they get into relationships with people that are unsuitable. It wasn't a good fit from the very beginning. Remember, young people, if older people, if you're single today and you're looking for a mate and that's your number one priority, I will guarantee you, I know a lot of people in physical relationships who are still lonely. Okay? Remember, aloneness is met first in Christ. How do I know if that's suitable choices? Let me just give you three things real quickly. You can write them down if you'd like or just listen. Number one, it must be a Christian. If you're a believer, the Lord has straight up told you, do not choose someone who's not a believer. Number two, well, let me tell you why that's important. Because then I can trust. Now, let's take our theology. Look right here now. We're going to close right here in just a second. You don't want to miss this. Why does this person need to be a believer so we can go to church together? No. The reason that person must be a believer is if they are a believer, they then inherently hold the Spirit of Christ living in them. And so then you won't have to bring your husband to church to have the pastor to tell him what to do. Or you won't need to call a girl's girlfriend and say, would you tell my husband that a Christian woman, a woman does this? Because you know who's going to be doing that? The Spirit of Christ living in them. And so when we guys are acting like knuckleheads, we have other brothers around us who will say, man, that ain't right. And quite often we walk away going, what right does Pastor Melton tell me that's not right? And then the Holy Spirit comes in and goes, you need to listen to Pastor Melton. See, that's what you've got as a Christian. When two Christians are married, you've got this advocate that's going to be there working this thing out. Third of all, listen to me carefully. Don't play marriage. If you are not married and you're looking to be married, don't play marriage. It becomes very confusing in your mind because you start thinking, now look at me, look right here, let's put it together, what we've been talking about this morning, that all of a sudden you will not deal with your aloneness, you will deal with your loneliness. And you may move in with somebody, or you may move in, and the only thing you've done is attack the problem of loneliness. You've done nothing for the problem of aloneness. And you put yourself in a situation where it becomes very difficult to read and understand what the Spirit is saying because it feels, it looks like it has all the trappings of what you think might be a marriage. Now here's what I want to close with. I don't want you to miss this because this is really good to me. And I'm going to give you something that you've probably never heard this morning. We won't sing a song. Just give me a chance to share this with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Can you go there for me, Josh? So you can shut your Bibles. We're finished. I want to show you something. Put 31 up there plus, Josh. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. It's a passage right out of Genesis. We're going to be studying that passage next Sunday. The next verse says what? Excuse me, 32. That's 31. Next verse. This is a mystery. How many married people would say amen? You see that? You ever seen that before? Jesus says marriage is a mystery. And we would all go, phew, man. Yeah. I'm going to tell you the secret there right now, though. But I am talking about Christ and the church. I want you to listen to me very carefully. What does he mean? He means that this mystery is solved by looking at Christ and the church. If you go back to verse 25, we won't go back there now, but just as we close, let me tell you what verse 25 said. And Jesus gave up all of his rights to be God, surrendered himself to the cross in order to win the loss. Follow me. Stay with me. You know what he's saying there? The mystery of the marriage is that men would do the very same thing for their wives. They would give up their rights. They would serve their wives. And they would find something that they really thought they wanted if she would just serve me. And the great mystery is this. It's not about her serving you or him serving you, ladies. It's about you both finding a suitable person that you're both willing to give up your rights, surrender to the other person, and serve them. And in serving them, Jesus says, you're going to find the answer to the mystery. Did you hear me? And some of you are going, nah, I don't believe that. I know you don't. It's taken me 38 years to figure that out. Now you can take 38 or 39 if you want. I'm just giving it to you free of charge. We're going to come back here. He says this is a mystery. And in it, you're going to find mutual sacrifice and mutual fulfillment. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Thank you for letting me share that with you this morning. Please come back next week. I'm going to show you how this thing is supposed to work and how it got fractured and why it gets fractured in your life so that you can see that next week. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for these folks who have allowed me to share the Scriptures with them today. Father, we've laughed some, but yet, Lord, I know the Spirit is speaking to me and all of us about the seriousness of this. Father, if we succeed in marriage, and if we succeed in church and fail in marriage, what a mess. Because in this mutual submission that we're just talking about, this mystery, the world sees a marriage and goes, wow, I've never seen anything like that. That looks like Christ and the church. Is that what it's supposed to look like? Father, I pray today for those who are miserable today. And if you are, let me just ask you, has anything to do with the performance of your mate? Or are you miserable because of your performance? 90% of the time, it's because my mate is not treating me the way I want to be treated. It's a profound mystery, like Christ in the church. Could I call you today to repent and just say, Lord, I've been looking for my mate to provide this, to make me feel this, and they haven't done it. I'm hurt. I feel devalued. But Lord, they're not Jesus. I need to find those things in you. Lord, I'm going to turn from expecting her or him to be Jesus, and I'm going to come to the one true Jesus and expect him to minister to me.
And then, Lord, if you'll help me by grace, I will serve her and him and see if this crazy message is true. In Jesus' name, amen. May I give you your benediction? Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whosoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Have fun today. Talk with people.